A warm welcome to Disky Talk with Luyolo. If you're tuning in for the very first time, I ask that you please subscribe and hit the notification bell. If you have been a part of the journey, I hope you thoroughly enjoy this episode. So, I'll start by introducing my guests. I'll start by introducing Stabiso. How are you, bro?
I'm fine with you.
Thank you very much for returning.
Yeah.
And then, Signordo! Nah, I'm joking. Neil, how are you?
You good?
Always, man.
Yeah, fantastic. And then last but not least, hey man, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good.
Name's Monday, by the way.
The villain. But anyway, so these are the gentlemen who will be joining me today in discussing the next generation of superstars. We've got the tactical board here. So we're going to pick our 11. So gentlemen, without wasting any time, let's get straight into it. Which guy do you think is best suited for this position, being the goalkeeping position? Who do you think in world football is next up in this position?
Okay, I'll start and I'll say Ederson is the best goalkeeper in this generation. The reasons for that is because, you know, this new generation of keepers have to know how to play with the ball, you know.
Yeah.
It's less about, you know, can you make the saves and whatever, even though it is important, you know. A lot of coaches now value goalkeepers who can play with the ball, paying those long passes with 100% accuracy. So that's why I'd pick Ederson over any other keeper right now.
Hmm. Just think. Stabiso?
Well, I think with the criteria, I think it must do with age also, like young players. I don't think Ederson qualifies.
But he is. Ederson's like 23, 24.
What? No, yeah. No, it can't be. No way Ederson is 23 years old. I think Donnarumma has to be there because Donnarumma's been playing at a high level since he was 16.
Yeah.
Playing game at the San Siro, having to go and do homework the next day. Like he's done things for such a kid to show such maturity as a keeper. That's a position where you see people play until they're 40, bro. For him to come in at 16 and keep the same consistency and even get his big move now to PSG, I feel like he's going to go on to big and better things.
Yeah. What is your take, Neil?
I do agree with Stabiso. I see it in the same light as him. I don't know where. It's coming with that. Yes, I think he has the maturity. He has a cool head.
Yeah.
And can make good decisions.
Yeah.
But look, I hear you guys about Donnarumma, right? But he's not really the best with his feet, you know.
Yeah, but like this is the thing. I feel like with modern day football fans, they want players to do more than what they required. You're a keeper. Your job is to stop shots, stop goals. You're a defender. Your job first is to defend. You're a midfielder. Your job first is to retain the ball, give it easy. Now people, they want players to do more than what they're required to do. And that's not really what football is about. Football is about your assigned role. You do your job. You win games.
I hear so, you, but this is a new generation of keepers.
So I hear what you're saying. Eh? And I personally, I love Ederson. You know, he's one of my favorite goalkeepers. However, to say that Donnarumma is not good with his feet is you being dishonest, in my own opinion.
Yeah.
Because if you look at how the Italians play, they play from the back. So they wouldn't be able to start from the back if Donnarumma was not good with his feet. He's just not on the same level as Ederson.
Okay.
That I will accept, that he's not on the same level as Ederson when it comes to playing out the back. So personally, I'm also going to go with Donnarumma. Guys at home, please do let us know which goalkeeper would you guys have gone with. So, yet again, you and going. Anyway, so we've got Donnarumma in goals. Then, let's have a look at two centre-backs, gentlemen. Let's speak about the centre-backs. Which are some of the names that have impressed you guys, that you guys think are the next superstars when it comes to that central defensive position?
I think the first one, it has to be Ruben Dias. I feel like that's not even a discussion.
Yeah.
It has to be Ruben Dias. I think to pair him, I'm not quite sure when I pair him. Because I think De Ligt is kind of falling below his standards.
Yeah.
So these past seasons, I've offered his move to Juventus. But I quite like the player at Lille, Sven Botman.
Yeah.
Bro, that guy's amazing, bro. Like, I feel like he's one of the reasons why they, like, want to leave because he's so solid, but, like, he's big, he's commanding. I feel like Lille replaced them well, and they sold us Gabriel and they bought Finn Botman.
Yeah.
I feel like he's gonna get a big move in the next year, or if not this summer now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's your take, man?
There's a pairing there. I would put Kuti Romero there because, you know, if you look at the Italian league, it's known for its defensiveness.
Yeah.
And the man has just helped Argentina secure a major trophy, which is good. You know, it starts something.
Yeah.
We're talking about a pairing that needs consistency. And once they have that, they tend to grow on it. So if he could do it with Otamendi, imagine what he'd be able to do with Diaz.
Yeah,
it'd be amazing.
What's your take?
Okay, well, I was gonna say Martinez, but I do think he's a bit old, right?
Yeah, he is.
So I guess I'll agree with the Romero one. Yeah, I'm impressed by him. Yeah.
So personally, I like Diaz, you know, and a special mention does go to Timori, who is an unpopular pick, but he's one of my favorite centre backs, and I would advocate for him going into there, but. Because we live in a democratic world, you know. So we've got Ruben Diaz and we've got Romero.
Yeah.
Are you guys happy with that?
I agree with that.
Let's move on to the right back position. Who do we have at right back?
Personally, I'll say Reece James.
That's a smelly pick.
You know? I mean, like, sure, yeah, there is Arnold, you know, but Arnold is good going forward, but Reece James is good going forward and defending as well. So that's why I'd pick him, because I feel like he's the more completed right back, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I hear you. So, personally, I like Reece James. I like the look of him. And you also mentioned Arnold. It's just, I think there's a player who is a street ahead of both in Hakimi, who's just moved to PSG. And when you look at Hakimi's consistency, you know, over the past couple of seasons, and whichever team he's played for, you know, and how he's adapted to the different leagues, you know, I've been thoroughly impressed. You know, we do know that came through Real Madrid. Whenever he did get a chance to play in the La Liga, he did really well. He went, he moved on, did really well in Germany with Dortmund, who went to the Italian league. And he managed to win a Scudetto as well. So I think he's a very complete right back, in my own opinion. And I think he's ahead of all the right backs in the world currently. You know, even if you want to have a look at guys who might be older than him, but even those guys, I feel like he's a street ahead of all the right backs in world football. And that's why PSG have just had to pay fortune for him, because he's that amazing in my own opinion.
He's the best right back in the world, without a doubt. I go with the same
Hakimi.
Yeah, same choice. Yeah,
Hakimi. Yeah, he's the best right back in a long time.
Yeah. So, okay. We've got Hakimi there. The next position, gentlemen, is left back.
I'm gonna keep this short and simple. Alphonso Davies.
Yeah, that's you can't even fight.
Yeah.
I can't even fight
the Canadian roadrunner.
I feel like the right back and the left back spots, I feel like those two are gonna get into that FIFA World 11 for the next 5-10 years. I feel like those guys are, first of all, they're so fast, they're good on the ball, bruh. Those guys are probably the best fullbacks we've seen in like 10 years, bro.
You know, they're definitely the best in those positions, you know. Also, you have to consider consistency. You know, that's a big thing that I look at. You know, yes, we do know that on the right-hand side, for example, Arnold in previous seasons, you know, he did really well, and then the form dipped, you know. Whereas what's impressive about these two fullbacks in Davies and Hakimi is that they've been consistent throughout, you know. So, let's move on, gentlemen. A defensive midfielder.
I'm gonna start with Pedri. I think Pedri can play in the six.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Pedri. Pedri has a six.
I'll go Declan Rice.
Sure.
Why are you saying sure?
Like whenever someone mentions like an English player, like in any, when someone mentions an English player on a world stage, I feel like. That player is just put into a box. Like that player hasn't done anything outside of those realms of the English league. Pedri has done this at 18 years old. The Euros, he's done it in the Champions League, he's done it in La Liga. not as a big part player, but as a starting first teamer at Barcelona. And then I feel like Pedri is I feel like at his tender age, I feel like he's way ahead of Declan Rice, and Declan Rice is seen as the next best thing in England. I don't think he should be in the team.
What are your thoughts, Neil? Who would you have there in that defensive midfield position?
I would put Pedri a little bit higher. But
same.
Yeah.
Same. I would also put Pedri a little higher. I think there's a spot for Pedri as
an eight.
As an eight. I'd put him higher. So with regards to that, I think we have to put that conversation aside and find a defensive midfielder. Sorry.
Defensive midfielder right now, it comes to my mind.
Especially in the age profile, I'm not.
Yeah, the age profile.
Six.
I mean, like, there is Paredes.
No, Paredes kind of old.
Paredes kind of old, yeah.
Paredes kind of old. Like 27.
Yeah.
Like, to find a really good and competent player who plays as a six at that age is kind of hard. I feel like it's an even haystack.
Wait, so you guys still don't... So you guys don't rate Declan Rice like that?
I don't rate Rice.
You guys have seen his performances in the Euros?
I don't rate Rice
and you guys?
Nah, no way.
Damn, that's crazy.
I don't see Rice as a...
That's crazy.
Yeah, you know?
Could a person put Frankie there?
Yeah.
De Jong.
Frankie.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I would go with Frankie De Jong sitting there. I think he's you know, the thing is, because of how long Frankie De Jong has been playing, it sort of goes over our heads that do you understand what I'm saying? It sort of goes over our heads because we classify him as this guy who's a bit older, you know. Whereas, you know, not gonna say he's a youngster, but he's still got age on his side. So I would definitely put him there as a six, because I think he would control the game, and how he's just grown and come on along, you know. What I love about De Jong is his composure. You know, that man, it's just a training session where he's kicking the ball at the park with his friends. He's so calm. It's almost as if he plays the game at his own tempo.
True.
You know, so are we happy with De Jong in there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess this number eight picks himself. That's Pedri. Yeah,
that's Pedri.
But we have to find a second number eight. Who do we have?
I'm going with
Barella
has to get in there. For a guy who's like, I think like 5'5", or a guy who's 5'5" to control midfields the way he does against strong teams, people are trying to always knock him down, kick him. Bro, that guy is, I feel like he's the modern day complete midfield. Like, he can destroy the ball, he can spray it 50 yards.
Bro,
I feel like he doesn't lack anything.
Okay, so let me throw a span in the works, right? As much as we've progressed to the eight, where is Joshua Kimmich in all of this conversation?
Personally, I'd make Pedri sit down and put in Joshua Kimmich in his place.
I don't like Barella that much to like bench Pedri, so I'd rather have Kimmich over
So you guys are telling me that Pedri is gonna go in all because what, he completed all of his passes against?
No, I think as a together Kimmich and
the Pedri
and Pedri together,
they make a better pair.
With
De Jong holding. All I'm saying, gentlemen, is that I'm sorry, but we cannot leave Joshua Kimmich out. He's
the personality, everything.
He's we can't. I just feel like you can't leave him out when you're talking about the next best and the best 11 young players, if you could categorize them as that. That you just can't leave him out, you know, because
Kimmich has to go in.
Like Kimmich, he definitely has to be there, in my opinion.
But we can bench Pedri for Barella, though.
Well, we can, because...
What, you want to bring Barella in over Pedri?
Yeah.
No.
How do you feel, gentlemen?
Well, Pedri just had like 65 out of 65 passes.
No, I feel like the thing that you're doing
against
him. I feel like that you're not looking at the whole thing. Pedri is a kid who's 18 years old. But Barella's been around for quite a long time, and I think that what we see of Barella right now, I feel like there's still a bit more to go, but not that much room to grow. I feel like we've seen
what
kind of player that Barella is. Pedri's just 18, bro. Like, he's literally just hashed in football terms. So he can go on to be a 10, he can go on to be a really good 6. Like, the room for potential with Pedri is literally, it has no...
Yeah, you know, and another thing that you have to consider when you look at Pedri, you have to consider the fact that how many other 18-year-olds within Spanish football history have performed to that magnitude? You know, Enrique said it. He's like, you know, Xavi, Iniesta, they were great. However, at 18, they never did. They were never playing at this level, you know. And one thing about Pedri that people don't realize is that he is the whole system.
It's his first season.
You understand? He is the whole system. Synonymous to Xavi and Iniesta, they were the system. Pedri is the whole system. He's not just an individual player, but he's the whole system. You know, everything goes through him. So I would definitely have a midfield three of De Jong, Pedri, and Joshua Kimmich.
Okay, yeah, I'll agree.
Are you gentlemen happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to the business end. Whew. Viewers at home, I know this one's going to get deep. It's going to get very intense. But let's start. We need a right winger, a right forward, whatever you want to term it as, but a right attacking player. Who goes there, gentlemen?
Who's going to start? Names? I mean, like, I'll name a couple of names, man. I'll say Rafinha, Chiesa, Sancho.
Well, I think for the right wing spot, I'm mostly saying it off. I think the player with the brightest future out of the three you just mentioned, I think it has to be Sancho. Because, like, he's also similar to Pedri, as like he started doing amazing things as a kid. Basically, was like 18, 19 when he started playing games at Dortmund, and for him to produce the 20 goals, assists, like back to back, the goals he does, like, and he like to like Dortmund's success, like he was like an integral piece to that. That, like, he was without Sancho, like that attack lacked the teeth it had. Like, in order to win games, I feel like Sancho has to be at the right wing spot ahead of
Chiesa.
No, but the Chiesa at Juventus, he's like a big part player. Like the machine, like, still works without him in the system.
No, it doesn't, because if Chiesa wasn't playing in that Porto game, they would have been blown out the water a long time.
But they still have Dejan Kulusevski, though, like.
But he's not at Chiesa's level, though.
No, but Chiesa, like, he isn't an integral piece to that Juventus team.
You say they would have been blown out the water, but even with Chiesa, they never.
And
he gave them a fighting chance.
What?
But that's one game compared to 3 years of Jadon Sancho.
Jadon Sancho. Don't let recency bias. Like,
okay. Now I hear.
Sancho. You take Sancho.
I take Sancho.
Okay, gentlemen, let me play devil's advocate. We've got Greenwood, we've got Foden. Mm. Mm.
Still Sancho. Can I change?
Yeah, you're allowed to change.
Greenwood. I see something in that boy, man. I see something in that boy, and I'll put my money on it.
Yeah, man.
I'm not a Manchester United fan, man.
And, like, honestly,
I'm a Liverpool fan, and I'm saying I want Mason Greenwood there.
Yeah, like, you know something about, like, the... Like, as an Arsenal fan, I know a thing or two about seeing something in a player. And I've seen many a player come to Arsenal, or, like, come to the ranks at Arsenal and be good for, like, a few games or, like, a season or two, and then fall off the face of the planet. Many know about Wilshere, what happened to him. Many know about Yaya Sanogo. He came through and he did good things, and then he fell off the face of the planet. Lord Ben, everyone knows about him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the thing of, like, we shouldn't... Like, do this thing of, like, say that we looking forward to seeing a player, because that potential of a player might not ever come, and we'll just be left with who we see now. Like, let me tell you, another had that other guy. I forgot who's that other 17-year-old who, like, scored. I forgot his name now.
Macheda.
Yeah, Macheda. Like, he, like, came on and scored, and people thought that, wow, we have the next striker.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, and then, like. People backed so much on his potential and him actually doing great things in the future, which never came. I feel like that we shouldn't look forward to a player when they actually aren't doing
anything. Yeah, so let's judge them based on the now. That's what you're saying. Okay, so that then just does shape this criteria in 11 a bit differently with regards to that. But I love the point that you have made. How do you feel?
Hey man, Greenwood is a stone cold finisher, 5-star weak foot. It's tricky, man, because Sancho is such a good dribbler. Greenwood is such a good finisher. It's all about what you want in your team, you know. Yeah. But I'd want the finisher because I'd want the goals, you know.
Oh, but the thing with Greenwood, though, like on the wing, like he's very limited because he always wants to cut into his left and shoot or step over to the right and shoot. Like he's very limited in the way that like a defense can like cram him and say that like we'll like force him out or we'll double team him.
But
with Sancho, he can always go outside, cross it, go in the middle,
but
beat a few players.
But with Greenwood, it makes him unpredictable. The fact that you don't know which side he's gonna go. He can do a step over. I think that he's gonna go on his left to go, then his right, he still scores. Goes and he left, he still scores. So that makes him even more unpredictable. It makes him more of a threat.
But there's no trick to like being unpredictable though, because then what teams could do, they can either just double team you and say that either side you go, we're getting the ball.
Okay, but it's cool, you double team me and then you leave a space open for another dangerous player in the middle of the park.
No, but no. He's just shifting the goalpost.
He's switching the goalpost, but if I'm dragging out, if two players are coming to mark me.
We'll be isolating the player and what the player does.
Yeah, you're isolating me, but then that leaves a space open.
No.
A hole open somewhere for another player to come and capitalize off that.
Okay, gentlemen, let's shelf this Greenwood versus Sancho. Let's go to Foden, because that's also another young player who's rising.
Yeah.
And I already know how you feel about him. So I'll start with Neil. What do you make of Foden potentially getting that spot?
Yeah, if I have to look at what Stabiso said, that Greenwood, don't look at what he potentially has. Foden has showed us what he has.
Mm.
So, if I'd have to put the pecking order based on what you've said and how we're structuring the team, then Foden goes ahead of Greenwood. But Sancho, what he's done, Borussia Dortmund as a club, and what he's contributed. Yeah. So that means if we're building a team and we're looking for contribution there on that right wing, we have to put Sancho there. Especially because we know who we're going to put.
Yeah, and I do agree with that, because Foden, you could say that Foden is a bit predictable because you know that it's going to always cut him on the left foot. So yeah, with Sancho, you do have a bit of a, you know, a guy who's going to dribble you. You know, you don't know what he's going to do. So yeah,
so
I definitely go with Sancho.
The thing is with Sancho, you know, I think what Sancho will become is, in my opinion, one of the greatest players, you know, in his generation. And I say that because it's very rare to get an attacking player who can give you double figure goals and double figure assists season in, season out. And that's what he does.
Yeah.
You know? Do you know another player who does that very well? Lionel Messi. But anyway, I'm not saying.
Yeah, you know, I get it, but can I just add though? You know, we have seen German players, I mean, players who have played in the German league perform, like your Mkhitaryans. They go to Manchester United and Arsenal, and then they drop 2 out of 10 performances every game. So, performing in the Bundesliga, you know, it is something, but it's also not something.
No, but this is why I'm coming back to my argument again. It's the thing of that you can't be looking forward and say that this guy could fail, he could work.
Yeah.
Right now, what we have, we've got the numbers that he's posted in the Bundesliga.
Yes.
That's what we're judging, you know. Yeah. We've got the performances of him in the Champions League against some of the biggest teams in Europe while playing in a Dortmund shirt. So, personally, I would go for Sancho there. I prefer Sancho there because... Yeah, I just think that he's a complete attacking player, you know. And another thing that people don't really realize concerning Sancho is his passing game. You know, a lot of people speak about his dribbling, but if you realize how many penetrative passes he has in the final third, how many progressive passes he has as well, which then shows you why he's got the amount of assists that he has.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a very complete forward, because other forwards could be good at dribbling, but they lack the other part of the game. Mm. Other forwards maybe are good at finding the passes in those tight pockets of space, but can't beat a man. But with Sancho, he can, in my opinion, he can do the whole lot.
Mm.
So, gentlemen, let's head over to the left wing.
I'll keep this short and simple. Jack Grealish.
Oof, what? I was gonna go Saka. I was gonna go Bukayo Saka.
Grealish.
You can call me any name in the.
Oh, for Grealish.
Yeah.
But I'm going with Bukayo Saka. That's one player I will go to the end of the year to defend.
So which team do you support?
Arsenal.
Oh, that makes sense.
No, but if you're listening to me, Bukayo Saka has to be. If you're talking about a team of the best young players in the world, Saka has to be there. I don't see how anyone else can justify that.
Hmm.
Because,
Grealish.
Tell me if any of these players, if they were put in Saka's situation, would still perform in the it's Arsenal is basically a dying giant, basically. This ship is sinking.
Yeah,
and he's the only one keeping it afloat. No, he was 19 years old.
No, but you can't say that if you put players in certain situations.
No, but
because you said that we're talking based off what what's happening now.
What
right?
He's doing?
Yeah,
This is what he's doing.
You can't use that thing to suit your argument.
No, you understand what I'm saying.
You see
what Saka is doing? He's single-handedly keeping us on the float week in, week out. Tell me another club that depends solely on a 19-year-old's performance week in, week out.
But at the same time,
I haven't seen Saka drop even a 6 out of 10 the whole season.
But at the same
time, his consistency is the only thing that's keeping us afloat.
But that's not the other club's fault that you guys have such bad players. You have to depend on a 19-year-old. At Man City, Foden can play there because what? There's the Bane, there's Gundogan, it's Messi's player.
Who are you putting ahead of Saka?
Grealish.
Okay, gentlemen, let me ask you this. What do you guys then make... Yes, I will accept, I'll concede that he's injured.
Yeah.
But the season that he had, Pedro Neto. What do you guys make of Pedro Neto there in that position?
He's good, but I still don't think he's at Grealish's level, though.
I'm not having him in Osaka.
You're not having him over Saka?
I'm not having him over Saka.
I'd have him over Saka, but not over Grealish.
So you'd have Pedro Neto over Saka?
Yeah. But not over Grealish.
What? No way.
Okay. Tell us why you would have a Pedro Neto over Saka.
I just feel like Pedro Neto is just better, man. He's a better dribbler.
He's
more direct.
You can't use feelings. If you say
you're using feelings.
this is not feelings. These are facts. Without Saka, we would be relegated. That is a fact. It's not a feeling.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Does this team need him as much as Arsenal does?
Yeah, thank you. That's a really good question.
Is the team complete without Saka?
Are they gonna depend on Saka like that? Thanks for that, Neil. Thank you very much.
All that I wanna say is that I'm having Saka as my vote. I'm having Saka as my vote.
Okay. So let me bring a player back in. You know, let's bring Foden back in. So he couldn't make it on the right. Would you then have him on the left?
No.
Grealish, yeah.
Because this guy's busy talking about a player who carries teams. Grealish is legit carrying Aston Villa on his back.
But is he though?
What?
Like Watkins.
We all saw how Aston Villa's performances dropped when Grealish was injured.
Mm.
And then when he came back, everything just went back to normal.
I'm not sure.
They were legit challenging to be in the top 6 when Grealish was there. When he got injured, now they're not a challenge to stay top of the table.
Right. What I'm gonna say is that I'm not gonna have Grealish over.
Nah, you're not gonna have Grealish.
I'm gonna have Grealish over Saka.
You wouldn't.
No chance. No. Like I'm not saying that Grealish isn't better than Saka because he is.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to the cohesiveness of the team because Grealish is a player like who it's basically a hero ball. Like Grealish, it's give the ball to Grealish and he'll do something. With Saka, he's cohesive to the team. I'd rather have Saka over Grealish any day.
I'm looking at set pieces
Thank you.
That makes me want Grealish on the team.
You want Grealish more?
Yeah. Because imagine having so many dead ball specialists in this team, and then Grealish is just winning fouls here.
Yeah.
It's gonna create so many threats for you.
Grealish.
So it's Grealish. Grealish, man.
Personally, gentlemen, I would go with Jack Grealish.
I
love Jack Grealish, and I think that he's cut from a different cloth, synonymous to Sancho. He's not your typical English footballer, you know, and I think Grealish can mix it up with the very best in world football, you know. You look at the Spanish national team, I think Grealish would fit in. You look at the Italians and how they're playing, I think Grealish can fit in, you know. And I just think Grealish is the man. So I'll go with Grealish on the left.
My one qualm with Grealish is that isn't... Because what I feel with Grealish, I feel like that with Grealish, is that it's a kind of thing of like... It's like a basketball term. I feel like it's a high usage footballer. Like, he's like the point guard, so the ball always has to be in his hands. So like, I feel like he's like a high usage player. Like, it's always hero ball. Like, I feel like for Villa to work, they must give Grealish the ball. Let's say that you put Grealish in City. Mm. Would Grealish still have the same effect on City as he does for La Villa? Because they won't turn to him every time they have the ball.
Yeah.
So will his output then go down also? Because it will.
But this is the thing that you have to remember, right? With his ability and with his playing style, he's made himself into that player. When he got into that Aston Villa side, he wasn't that player that they'd always give the ball. But with his performances, with his personality, he commanded that respect. He commanded the ball to always come out to him, right? So with regards to that, when you asked the question in correlation with Manchester City, would they turn to him? My opinion is that he'd be as important in a Manchester City side. And I think so because... No, let me tell you why. I think so because if you look at the way Pep Guardiola's playing, right? And if you look at how he started benching Sterling, it's clear that in Pep Guardiola's plan going forward, Sterling doesn't quite fit the mold of what he wants to do. But I think Grealish fits that because why? Grealish plays very well when he comes off the left, but he's also very good at occupying the half spaces. Sterling is not as good at doing that. Do you understand? And then the nice thing with Grealish is that even when he goes one on one with his man, he can beat his man. Do you understand? And then when he comes in on the inside, he's very efficient in those spaces. He played as an attacking midfielder, so he knows how to exploit those channels and exploit those areas. So there's great duality when it comes to Grealish. Yes, maybe because of his name and where he comes from, and from outside looking in, you're thinking him going to Man City, I don't think so. But once he becomes a part and parcel of that Manchester City side, I think he becomes important. Because another thing is, you have to consider that good players love playing with good players. Do you understand? So when you have De Bruyne, you've got Gundogan, you've got Grealish. I think if anything, when Grealish gets to that Manchester City side, his stock will rise big time. And he will become an important figure within that Manchester City side. Because I think Manchester City on this side, they've been lacking on the left-hand side, if we have to be honest. Do you understand? And that's why we've seen so many Pep trying different options in that position. But you now need a player who's going to be nailed on. You need a player with a very versatile skill set. And that's what Grealish brings, you know. So in my opinion, I would go with Grealish there. Because I think Grealish is just one season away with a Manchester City to be dubbed as a player who's world class, in my opinion. He gets that one great season with Manchester City. I think his stock rises and he becomes that important.
Yo, I feel like I'm changing. I feel like I want to concede, but I will concede to the fact that Grealish could be more important to this team than Saka. Yeah, I do. I feel like he offers more.
Yeah.
I feel like when I think about it, I feel like he offers more to the team than Saka does.
Yeah. Thank you for grilling him, Delu Yola. Thank you.
So, let's end it, gentlemen. Let's. This one is of course, the most prized position in world football. We all know, you know. We do know that in recent times it's been the false nine, but in this team, we're not going to go with the false nine. We're going to go with an out-and-out striker, the man who gets the goals. So, gentlemen, who do you guys have as the number nine?
Erling Haaland himself.
It's
Haaland.
Yeah.
We can close it. We can go. So it's Haaland.
Straightforward pick. Yeah.
Straightforward pick. Okay. So we have two more things to do, gentlemen, in the extra time segment, and that is to pick a captain from this team, A, and then B, a coach. But a coach who fits the criteria of how we picked this team. Who captains this side?
Joshua Kimmich.
Captain. No way. I'm saying Diaz. No way.
Diaz.
There has to be Diaz. That's the Kimmich. No, Diaz. No.
Kimmich. Yeah.
Kimmich. Yeah, I also like the look of Kimmich. Yeah, I do. Look, I think the man is a leader. If you look at how young he started out for Germany and Bayern Munich, but the respect that he commands, you know, from outside looking in, I think that some of the senior guys and older guys in the German national team, they're a bit afraid of him. This guy, you know, there's that thing. Not like, it's not apparent that, yeah, we're scared of him, but on a banter note, it's sort of like, this guy's gay. Yeah. You know, so I think he leads this side. Another player, though, that I would have gone for, in my opinion, I know unpopular pick, but Donnarumma. And I say that because he's so big, and the way he commands his defense, he just looks like a guy you don't want to get in a fight with.
Yeah. And he's a big name, like, in the game. Like players want to respect him. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, players will definitely respect him. So, let's end it off, gentlemen. Who coaches this team?
Pep Guardiola.
As Nagelsmann, no way.
Nagelsmann.
It's Nagelsmann.
What has Nagelsmann done?
I'm giving this team to Nagelsmann.
What has Nagelsmann done?
But remember, though, the criteria of today's episode, right, was the next generation, looking at them now.
Okay,
so the next generation for me is Nagelsmann, I would give this team to Julian Nagelsmann.
Okay, yeah, he said it's
I concede.
Yeah,
they probably win trebles on trebles with this team.
Yeah, but I can give it to Pete Thompson. But anyway, big shout out to Mr. Coach Pete Thompson, one of my favorite coaches in world football. So yeah, so gentlemen, let's end it off. So, in goals, we've got
Donnarumma
at right back,
Hakimi.
Our two centre backs,
Romero
and Diaz.
And Diaz, left back, Alphonso Davies.
Yes.
As our defensive midfielder, we have
Frankie de Jong.
Our two number eight,
Pedri and Kimmich.
Right?
Sancho.
Striker?
Haaland.
Left?
Man, like Jack Grealish.
Jack Grealish.
Her name's Jack Grealish.
So that is it then, gentlemen. Yeah. That is it. Are you happy, Neil, with the work we've done today?
Yes, looking forward to watching these guys. It's gonna be fun. Football is still fun, eh?
And the league is starting soon.
Yeah, and the league is starting soon. Are you happy with this?
I'm very happy,
There's no one that you'd
Yeah.
I know there's some people that maybe feel Mbappe should be there.
That is a
like
honorable
that.
Mention.
Hey, that's a great one.
After what he did in the Euros, man, he definitely lost my vote after seeing those performances.
Wait, hold up. Let's rewind. We need to pick wingers again, gents.
Again.
Because you mentioned Mbappe. Do we leave Mbappe out for Sancho? Do you leave Mbappe out for Jack Grealish?
I just think we leave Mbappe out in general.
Why would you leave Mbappe out?
I mean, he always finds a way to just disappear in the big games. It's kind of like Messi, you know. I think he's a kind of
what a compliment.
But yeah.
Put him in there. Like Messi.
But yeah, he just disappears in the big games, man.
Sure.
Seeing that big miss against Switzerland, man, just really threw me off about him, man. It was just like... And also, I think he's getting a bit cocky as well.
So you'd leave him out?
Yeah.
So on personality, you take them out.
Personality performances.
And Union?
He's won a World Cup. He's a World Cup winner. I know a lot of people say, I won a World Cup, what? But the kid is the talk of the town. You think he's going to disappear that quick?
He won't, but he won't really achieve much playing for PSG. There's Ramos, but PSG just always find ways to choke whenever they get to the big stage in the Champions League. And
Let's vote, gentlemen. Who's in favor of Mbappe coming into this 11? I know I am.
Well, there's one thing I want to speak about. I want to speak about this thing of recency.
Okay.
The thing with Mbappe, like, I remember the game in the Champions League when he scored, I think it was a hat-trick against Barcelona. I swear that day, everyone thought this guy has risen to like his stature, who he is.
Yeah.
And then a few games later, he dropped again. His standards have dropped. I feel like ever since that Barcelona game, his standards have just dropped. Even in the league, they've dropped. His numbers have dropped. I don't know what's going on with Mbappe. I feel like that his career is kind of stagnating. I think it's off the pitch matters now.
That are getting
to his head. Like, I feel like it's the whole thing of like his brand now. I feel like his brand is becoming more than who he is as a footballer, and he's not putting as much emphasis on his career. But I still put Mbappe in the team.
So over
who? Neil?
I think that I feel sorry for this generation because they come after Ronaldo and Messi. So when they have a bit of a dip, people are expecting consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You look at R9 and those places, players, Totti, all those players, they didn't do what Messi did, but yet we regard them as greats of their generation.
Legend,
and this is a new generation, and we're going to have to judge them for their generation, what they are doing. So,
Mbappe has to be in there.
I hear you guys, but who do you bench then?
Bench Grealish.
Take Sancho.
That's why this one is interesting.
No,
now we need to pick. We need to pick.
I thought it was easy.
We need to pick. So we're saying we're all in favor of Mbappe coming into the lineup, right? You're not in favor, but the three of us are in favor of Mbappe coming into the lineup. So unfortunately, right? So Mbappe comes into the lineup. So fine. So the conversation now, okay, fine, we've got Mbappe. The conversation now, is it Sancho or Grealish?
It's Sancho.
One must go. Who goes?
Grealish is out. Grealish, I feel like he shouldn't even be there in the first place. it's out.
You sure?
Grealish. I'm not taking... I already took Grealish over Saka. I'm not taking him over Sancho. There's no way I'm having him over Sancho.
Okay, if I look at the team with Haaland and Mbappe there... Sancho.
Okay. No way.
That's cutthroat, man.
So, personally...
I'd go for Grealish. I'm honest.
You go for Grealish.
I'm going for Grealish.
Yeah.
Okay, so, David, I'm sorry, but I have to go with Sancho.
Okay.
That's Mbappe there. I have to go for Sancho over Grealish.
I concede. I can see.
My team is staying this way. I don't want that Mbappe boy anywhere near this team. I'll keep it like that.
But you're accepting because based on votes.
Yeah, because Mbappe is a gun to my head. I mean, like I'll agree. Yeah, I'll agree.
You can't, huh?
I'm not taking Grealish.
Okay, gentlemen. So let's revise, right? Donnarumma in goals.
Okay.
Right back, Hakimi.
Yes.
Two centre-backs, Romero Diaz.
Yes.
Left back, Alphonso Davies.
Yes.
In here, we've got De Jong.
Yes.
Pedri.
Kimmich.
Mbappe. Haaland.
Sancho.
And Sancho.
That's a mean team.
Man, it's not a mean team with Mbappe, you know. That's all I mean.
So, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming through. And I enjoyed this one because there was lots of debate with regards to who should and who shouldn't. So I definitely do look forward to the upcoming season and looking forward to their careers as well, you know, as individuals. Some of them will obviously be moving to big clubs this window and in potential windows to come. However, that is that. This is our team, coached by Nagelsmann, captained by Kimmich. And viewers at home, please do weigh in. Please do comment and give us your 11 of the next best. And yeah, thank you very much, Monde, for coming through. Studies, thanks a lot. Thanks. Neil, thank you very much. This was an episode of Disky Talk with Loyola, signing out.
Nah, gents.
Oh.